In you we have redemption. We have for the forgiveness of sin. You say in your word that you are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Colossians says, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Kurabababa. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and in which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Lord, as you release your healing presence, as it increases right now, we know that those who are afflicted in their bodies, that those who have been afflicted in their minds, for those, Lord, who have been feeling anxious or fretful or rejected or hindered in any way, where it's been so difficult to rejoice and be glad, Lord, we know that your presence is here because of who you are, because of your majesty, because of your greatness, because of the honor that you have in the heavenly realm, because all authority has been given unto you. Because of that, Lord, because of your presence, we can rest in the fact that you are faithful and that you will perform your word. So, Lord, as we sing this song, as we worship you right now, Lord, we're believing and trusting that every area of our bodies that needs your touch, of our minds, of our will, our emotions, that needs your touch right now, that you are here, you are present, you are able, you are faithful to perform your word. So we call it out. We call out the very sickness or the very ailment or the very distress. For you say, be anxious about nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we just lift our hearts to you right now, and we sing your praises as you continue to touch us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I say, be whole in Jesus' name for heaven to come to earth. Let's sing out in declaration of his goodness and declaration of how wonderful he is and receive that which belongs to us. We receive you right now. We receive you right now. Thank you, Lord. Just put your hand on the place that's been distressing you. Maybe it's been affliction in your body. Maybe it's been needing reconciliation with someone in your family or someone in your sphere of influence. You can put your hand over your heart. Whatever it would be, whatever the place would be that you know needs a touch from the Lord, let's just believe him together right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for heaven coming to earth right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just open our mouth and worship him as he touches us. We can't touch us. He touches us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing touch. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Yes, and I will waste my life.
Yes, Lord, that's our heart right now. Oh, knowing, Lord, that our response to your love for us is really what you're desiring. You give us the free will, as Josh said, to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. How beautiful for you to do that, Lord, to give us the free will to do that and the mandate for it to be accomplished. And those two truths run parallel, side by side, where when we grasp that from your heavenly realm, from your heart, we will never feel hindered. We will never feel stifled. We will know and feel and walk in true freedom. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for the increase in freedom today. For it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Freedom to love you, freedom to express you, freedom to know you, freedom to feel you, freedom to embrace you, freedom to resist the enemy, freedom to be able to stand tall and strong, to be able to say no, that anything that would rise up against the knowledge of you, that freedom was bought for us. That freedom was purchased by a big price paid by you, Jesus. And we thank you for that. We're eternally grateful for that. And we thank you, Father, that you have sent to us the invisible Jesus who is seen by us, who represents you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're getting it more and more. We're seeing you as you are more and more. We're receiving you more as you are. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the vision that you give us way beyond ourselves, way beyond our families, way beyond what we're looking at right now, way beyond to be able to feel and see and walk out the very mandate from heaven, which is go, you are my sent ones. Go into the darkness and bring in. The harvest is ripe. Bring them in. Bring them in. Lord, in the midst of that, you desire to preserve us to be blameless before your coming. Preserve us, body, soul, and spirit. So we thank you, Lord, for the healing release, the delivering release today. We thank you, Lord, that we are the recipients of your goodness, and we celebrate that our bodies are strengthened, our minds are increased, our emotions have been stabilized, and you've brought a renewing to our thinking already. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How can we not thank you and praise you? We rejoice in you this morning and thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Just move your bodies if you've had a sickness of any kind. If you've had any kind of distress that's measurable, move your body. Do something that would counteract that. As a step of faith. Wow. Andy has a picture he's showing us right now of a man in Salah last week who had a broken neck, and he came to the Kingdom Bible School with a big, I don't know, 3-inch wide or so, maybe 4, I don't know, neck brace on. And it was very obvious that he was in distress. And he had broken his neck. I don't know why, how that happened. We didn't ask him. But it was broken, and he was told he needed to have the brace on for a year. And so prayed for him. He was only there the last day. And so he stuck out. He was a little bit obvious. So prayed for him and told him to go home and to... I asked him, when do you take the brace off, if ever? And he said, when I take a bath. I said, okay, when you go home and you take your bath, wisely move your neck. And I think we mentioned a little bit about this on Tuesday, but Andy has the footage for that. I haven't seen it yet, but it's pretty powerful because he came to us after he had tested what he had been instructed to test, and it was pretty awesome. So do we have it? I'm coming. So as he's putting that up, I will tell you again that when we were teaching and partying and enjoying Kingdom Bible School, the theme this year was I Live Supernaturally. Kind of simple. Yeah, there he... This is after Andy?
Yeah, Tim testified about it. Sure.
You don't have the beginning with his neck?
I do.
Okay, well, just imagine he has a huge neck brace, 3 or 4 inches. So here's the result. I haven't heard this. This was the next morning when we were about to leave. So if you can see that, hear that, it will be pretty cool.
From Sola. And I have an accident about them pretty much now.
Feeling sick in their bodies this morning. But with that testimony and what the Lord was also doing, if you have a testimony to give about the change that you're feeling, or you have felt some kind of change already this morning, I don't know, please come up and share it. If anybody was feeling sickly in their bodies, or you had a pain in your foot or your leg, check it again right now, because the power of God is here for that. So check, and then stand up. Don't be shy. If you're not sure, just step and move and see. Like, wow. Because when we were praying for people on site, they were just healed. They were dropping like flies. Like, oh yes, I'm healed. Oh yes, I'm healed. So it was a clean sweep. So is there anybody who wants to give a testimony? If you feel any kind of change, just come on up and share it. Come on. And this leads to others receiving. Our biggest problem in the States is that we doubt. So thank you for not doubting. Okay.
Yeah. I woke up this morning and my lower back was really bothering me, and I go to the chiropractor twice a week for my back because I've had some problems. And so it was really hurting this morning, which for like a week it hasn't been hurting at all. So I woke up this morning and all of a sudden it was hurting really badly. And I came up here to the front and I started worshiping and the pain just started to go away. So
weeks at night, specifically around 4 a.m. or so. And I don't feel anything, you know, just going all the way down. So it's good. Tonight's going to be good. Yes, Lord. Yes.
You are like this man up here. Look at his neck brace.
Wow.
And I said, when you take that off, when you take a bath, can you move at all? He says, I don't move my neck. It is very stiff. Nothing. So.
I came today, I woke up today with a very intense headache. It was really, really bad. And I didn't even realize it until Pastor Mary Pat was like, come on, testify. Then I'm like, wait, I have no headache. It's all gone.
Now, some of you might be feeling as though there's been a change in your body. Now, come on up, join the group. Just come out of your chair and just come on, stand next to Katie. She needs some encouragement, probably. Huh? You have something, come on over here. Just get behind Katie. There's more, I'm sure.
Okay, Katie. So I came in with a really sore throat and a lot of congestion. And when I swallowed, like, the sore throat went completely away. And when she said, do you have a testimony? I was like, well, my throat feels better. And then all the congestion cleared up. It's completely clear.
Just by saying that, do you have a testimony? There's power in the testimony. There is power. When you share, when we call you to share, encourage you to share, more power is released. So check your bodies again. Look around. Come on. If you have any change at all, I guarantee you, if you stand up, you'll have more of a change when you come up. Because it takes faith to do that. And faith releases here. Okay, Mike.
I had a, yesterday I noticed a pain right up here in my neck, well, right up in this area. And I think it was something with my lymph node or something. And I just noticed just now it's feeling better. Like, it's a lot of it's gone, so.
Ow!
Anyone else would like to come and share?
I think I have a power about the power of the testimony because I hurt my back yesterday. And it felt the same until you guys started testifying. And then I went... and it is gone. I can, and it's this way. Yeah, it was that movement that caused the problem. So there is power in the testimony.
The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? So who are we testifying about?
Jesus.
Touching us, And so the spirit of prophecy, which is the voice of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, speaking. And he's speaking as he's touching our bodies as well. It's a big deal. Anybody else? Rick? Okay. This is so cool because this is Jesus receiving glory.
Been battling some intestinal things since coming home, and had really a loss of appetite and just grumblings going on down there. But just the appetite's back and just starting to feel, you know, 100%, and God's still working, doing the work, and just believing and going to prophetically say it's healed. So, and also wanted to testify, those of you who have been praying for Aaron, he had an accident at my son Aaron, yes, that doctors say he's coming home today. So, awesome. Amen.
Just come on up in there, yeah.
Rick hasn't had a chance to see Aaron physically, but his siblings have. And I was there when the doctor came in and talked to him. And the doctor said he should be dead. He said he's lucky to be alive. I'm really convicted by something Lawrence said on Tuesday about how with miracles, we just act like they're nothing. And I sort of walked in the miracle that my son was alive. And then this morning it really hit me. My God, Lord, you grabbed my son and you saved his life. Aaron has a little wound on his forehead, and it's in the shape of an L. And I just was, as I was worshiping, I was like, you know, because everybody would think, you know, loser, you know, it's like, no, the Lord grabbed my son and saved his life by an act of love. And I hope it scars because there's just an L. When you look at him, there's an L right on the big, on his forehead. And I just know that the Lord is saving all of those who need us to bring in the harvest every day, and we need to be excited about him saving them every day for the time when we will touch them. So I just praise him for saving my son and for everyone that he has just saved this last 5 minutes, this last 10 minutes. And I know it's by his power and his love. And he left that stamp on Aaron, and Aaron will know that that was God's love that saved his life.
Well, we call forth that world changer. We call forth Aaron right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that he gets up out of that bed and is released today. And I thank you, Lord, that he and Brittany and the kids and the whole family will know that they know that they know that you love them and that you have such a big plan for their life and that they will all testify of your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How cool is this? Anyone else? Anyone else want to come and share? We'll get there. Anybody for right now? Anybody feeling a change? Oh, that's pretty darn good, isn't it? Well, Bethany has something. Something.
I know what it is.
Well, I know. This is so cool. Yesterday, I was at Starbucks, and I was sitting by a window, and this man in a wheelchair rolls past me, and I just, oh, as soon as I saw him, I was just like, oh, God, I know you want to touch him. I know you want to touch him. And so he came into the store, and I just was waiting for an opportune moment, and I just went over to him, and I, like, knelt beside him, and I was just asking him, like, what's the deal here? Why are you in this wheelchair and stuff? And he was telling me he had spina bifida, been in the wheelchair since, like, birth. And so I just told him a testimony of a guy in Africa, you know, who couldn't walk, and then after praying, he was able to walk, and he was, like, so for it. He was like, go for it. Pray for me. I will receive it. And so I prayed for him, and as I was praying, I was also praying for his healing, but I was also praying just the spirit of sonship and just that Father is proud of him. Father loves him. God's so with him and loves him so much, and he just started to, like, tear up, and he wasn't crying, but he was, like, getting so touched by God, and his eyes were all watering, and he was just telling me after I prayed, he's like, that really, like, means a lot to me. That really touched me. And so then I asked him, you know, try, like, do you feel a change in your body or any difference in your body? And he told me, he said he feels strength in his arms, which he's never felt before. He kept, like, moving. He's like, I just, when you started praying, even now, I still feel, like, the strength in my arms. And then he told me he felt tingling in his legs. And then he started to move his butt. It was so cool. And I was like, oh, I was so excited. Like, I was getting getting, I was drunk by this point. I was so excited. I was like, oh, you can move your foot. And I was like, oh my gosh. And he was like, this is unusual. I've never been able to do this before. And my legs are tingly still. And I was like, oh, like, whoa, Jesus is touching your body. This is so cool. And so it was, I just was so excited. And he, yeah.
Well, Starbucks will never be the same. Lord, we call out this young man who has been diagnosed with spina bifida, and we thank you that you complete it now. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you do this, that he has awakened today with even more movement. And Lord, that there will be a reconnection with either Bethany or someone from Frontline to draw him in to a place where he can grow and he can express what you have been what you've been doing in his life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do it and finish it in Jesus' name. And he has what? And he has Andrew's number. Lord, let Andrew connect with him in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we release the children, we're going to show a short video clip, and then they can be released. This is a video clip of something that happened up at the Kingdom Bible School up in Sola, northern Ghana. I have not seen this yet. Andy assures me it's wonderful. And so this is a clip of some of the ones who were there on the third day or whatever, who were drinking in the spirit. And it was quite amazing. I have been overseas, as you know, numerous times and for many years in many countries, and have experienced a lot of impartation and released impartation as well for drinking and becoming intoxicated in the spirit. And out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a village. And you need the discerning spirit of the Lord to see whether or not that is really God or if it's someone wanting to just go along with you. And we've been able to do that. So this is definitely, I believe, the real deal. Not that others haven't been, but this is amazing. And I have not experienced the degree yet up until this point of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a village or in a place that we've gone to this degree in the middle of Africa. So you want to show this? And then we'll release the children. So, amen. Okay. Can you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5? Thank you. And Andy, I need that book and also the picture of the oak tree. And also, if you would open your Bibles to Isaiah 61, verse 3. Did you find any? Will, did you find anything for me? Did you find anything on the way here? Okay. Yeah, I think so. I live supernaturally, and you'll see a tree. Well, there you go. You'll see a tree on the left that's an oak tree, and a tree on the right that's a mango tree. Mango trees are common in Ghana and other places. And so we used the mango tree, and Andy drew both of them, and we asked them which was which at first. And we drew, obviously you can see, the roots that are below the surface for the oak tree and the mango tree both have roots, but one was deeper than the other. One is bigger than the other. So we were trying to liken this as they're living supernaturally to what the scripture says. So turn in your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah 61:3. 3b reads, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. This is the oil of gladness instead of mourning, because the Lord is releasing a garland of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness or fainting. It says, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Let me read that last part again. If you can mark that down somewhere, I think it will be helpful. It says, again, Isaiah 61, 3b says, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That he may be glorified. That he may be glorified. And so the Lord had a desire, has a desire for us and did from the beginning, that we would be called oaks of righteousness from his perspective. And so So he sees us as a completed work from the very beginning. He sees us as one of his plantings, one of his many plantings around the world. And he sees us in terms of us glorifying him. Very, very important. For us to glorify the Lord, number one, we would need to see him for who he is. And number two, we would need to see ourselves as he sees us. Those two things together. If we see ourselves as an oak of righteousness, we will have an opinion of what that looks like that won't match up with the Lord's unless we see him for who he is first. Why? Because he says, you shall love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Again, as we had mentioned earlier, that's a choice that we have, but it's also a command. It's like, gosh, Lord, how can that be? You give us a command in Scripture to love you that way, but yet you give us a choice to do it. There must be something I don't understand. And he says, well, in my character, with my character in mind, if you see me for who I am, you will see that I am called faithful and true. I am faithful. I don't just do faithful things. I am faith, and I am faithful, and I am true. So therefore, I not only can, but I will uphold all of my promises. That's my nature. That's who I am. Therefore, I am trustworthy. Period. Whether you, little children, to any of us, are having trust issues or not. That is not the point. That is not the issue. Trust, your trust issues is not what we're talking about. Because he is trustworthy. He is faithful because of who he is, because of his nature. Otherwise, he would not, number one, give us a choice, knowing that we could push him away, and number two, give us a command. He gives us a choice, and he gives us a command. That sounds like an oxymoron. That sounds very opposite. But really, those are parallel truths in Scripture that we can take to the bank. We can take and we can use, so to speak, and we can rely on in any way, shape, or form at any point. You are faithful, God, to show me what I'm not understanding. But yet you call me to take a step forward even if I don't. Oh, you call me to move forward even if my brain, my mind cannot wrap around what I think makes sense to me. You are still calling me to take a step even without understanding. And when we get to the point of saying, God, I don't have to understand. I will choose to believe because you are faithful and you are trustworthy. At that very point, some of what we are feeling in our minds or thinking will start to be challenged. And the very things that we have on the inside of us that seem so together and settled will begin to be shaken. And the Lord will be involved in that. And what we might tend to call, well, that's the Lord speaking to me saying, don't receive. Actually, the Lord will take us down a path through a process where he says, no, no, I'm calling just the opposite. I'm calling you to receive before you understand. Oh, when you receive and I receive before we understand that we are choosing to take the choice that he gives us, we're honoring the choice, but we're also saying your command to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength is strong, it's real, and you make a way even if I don't get it, even if I don't understand. So, to receive is to receive. What? That makes no sense, I know. So even when we were working with the people in Sola on our land in northern Ghana, those who did not fully understand chose to step in to receive. The faith was there for that. They had a choice to say, I don't get it, I don't understand, nope, or to step in. And those who did, which seemed to be the majority, seemed to be everybody, I don't know their hearts, but from what we could see and discern, to the best of our understanding and ability, it seemed to be the whole camp. There was such a release of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of the Lord saying, I'm here. Holy Spirit is here. I am here amongst you. And there was this ease in them. There was a trust because of great love. We didn't come in the first day and say, okay, here's what we're doing. Take your bottles and drink. But we positioned ourselves to understand where we were, what we know at this point, and say, Holy Spirit, how do you want to do this? The end result is for all of us to be filled with peace, joy, and righteousness in your Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, it says. To walk that way, because that's the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not food or drink, Romans 14:17. Rather, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So those who are attempting to walk out the righteous life with some measure or semblance of peace and maybe a little bit of joy were with us, but they experienced the Holy Spirit in a greater capacity of fullness, and it allowed for the Lord to capture allowed the Lord to capture their hearts in a deeper place, and for the miraculous, more miraculous things to happen. We saw so many miraculous things. They were just one after the other. They became, if you will, commonplace. But as Kim was saying, the moment we are not in awe of him showing up, we have to be ready for a loving rebuke. Because he says, if you are not in awe of me, then there's something about loving me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength that is, it is hitting a wall. Your intent is hitting a wall, or that there may be something that would rise up to hinder that from moving forward at the speed you would like. You and I would like to be accelerated. Is there anybody in here who does not want to be on the accelerated path of the Lord? You want to be on the slow boat path because whatever. I don't think you'd be in this building, honestly. I think we all want to be accelerated, especially in the areas that seem a little painful. Let's get through this fast. But also we want to reach our destiny. We want to do things for the Lord. We want to experience the greatness of God. I mean, we're designed that way. That's the designation from the Lord. He said, I made you in my image. So I've designed you to want to be accelerated. I've designed you to want to know me more. I've designed you to hunger more after me. I've designed you to say yes, 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 more, more, more. That's my design. I'm just helping that come out. I'm helping that rise up. I'm helping that be exposed, if you will. I'm helping that be released. That's my job, because I'm faithful and true. And because I'm faithful and true, I will do what I say. So I will help you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You can't do it on your own. It's me. It started with me. It ends with me. It's all about me. I mean, how simple is that? And the minute it becomes all about me, 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 and my family, we may have hit a wall and not realize it. It's like, what? My needs, my family. Oh, come on. God cares about what I'm doing this month or next month. He cares about you. Of course he does. But he's saying, I'm looking for a family that's focused on me, not focused on the family. I'm looking for a family that has a focus on me. 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 All ages. Babies all the way up. What? So everything we do, think, feel is to eventually have the goal, hopefully right up front, that it's all about you, Jesus. All about you. Even with our little people. We can model more than we think. As we carry him, we end up modeling him. Period. So we had this, we put together, actually, very quickly before the Ghana trip, we put together a Kingdom Bible School manual for this year. Opened it a few times. But it's very good. And, of course, all in English and all written here. And so every time we had a session, we said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? These are your people. We're just facilitators. Change us first and then help us be facilitators of change and releasers of glory, whatever it would be. So when we first started, one of the very first things was to show them or point them to an oak tree, which was not common for them, on the front. And Rachel found that for me. Thank you, Rachel. And so underneath that, we quoted Mark 12:30, and you shall love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, basically. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. So Mark 12:30-31. So we had Andy come up and draw the two trees, as I began to say to you. Again, Josiah's happy. And to help them see that we are to become strong as an oak tree, but we're the Lord's planting. We just read it in Isaiah 61, verse 3b. We're the Lord's planting, and it's for his glory. Okay, that sounds really good. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But how he sees us and how we see him at the same time and how we view all of that together makes a difference whether or not we want to or we will continue to accelerate or not accelerate, continue to receive all that he has. And so as I'm continuing today, I was talking to my husband and I said, you're really good at this oak tree stuff. He knows where all the oak trees are around. So on your way to church today, if you could find me an acorn or something or two or three or ten, could you do that? So I gave him a bag. And so I need a couple of you to volunteers. Everybody gets one and then some in the house. So this is going to be your object lesson that you can take home today. So you maybe take a handful. Everybody gets one. I'll just take one here. Just to have it. Thank you, Pastor Bill. You're amazing. Okay. This is who we are. But God sees us a little bit differently. He sees us in this little stage, but he also sees us as a completely grown up together oak tree, desiring us for us to have deep roots that will go down to the bottom and produce what? More acorns. Okay. To produce the acorns on the oak tree. And when they fall to the ground, what happens? They will die. And what will happen? They will go into the ground. They will die, go into the ground, and then they will be raised up, the ones who survive, as other what? Oak trees. So the fruit that the God's looking for that remains isn't just in us. Like, oh, he wants me to be loving. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians. Yes. Okay, we learned that in Kingdom Kids. And all of that's true. But there's a purpose in becoming that message. And the purpose is that as oak trees, we are producing the Holy Spirit through us. She's throwing them now. The Holy Spirit through us is producing fruit that remains. And the fruit that remains will not just be love, joy, peace. It will be the expression of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Meaning that we have a job to do. And that job is our mandate from heaven. And that is to see other oak trees raising up. We have a mandate. God says, that's your call. When you're celebrating Christmas this season, your call is to be thinking about oak trees. Be thinking about who and what will be populating heaven. What that's going to look like here and globally. Not just Jesus as a baby in a manger. Now we know that. Jesus is the reason for the season and all of that. And we like Christmas lights and all the things, all the trimmings. That's all nice. But if this is not in the forefront of our goal about how God sees us and sees others who he will birth life into as his seedlings, as his plantings, and the responsibility that we have for that, we will be a little short-sighted, have a nice little Merry Christmas with Yuletide joy and happy punch and great times together as family, but we will still miss the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is global oak trees. Seriously, global oak trees. If you'd like a couple for your children so you can talk with them at dinner, just take a couple more. It's fine. They can all have one of these for their own object lesson. But it's really important. And I was thinking about it this morning. The guys in Sola in Ghana, they didn't get these. They got the picture. And at first they said, yes, the mango tree is the one with the deep roots because that's what they see. So we had to kind of switch gears. We didn't do that all that great. But they said, okay, yes, well, there's even a bigger tree, and it's an oak tree. Because this is a tree that is going to be so strong and so tall that it will sway and bend with the Spirit of God, but never break. But never break. But never break. But also be willing to not be quenched in any way. You know, when the Lord rains on the trees and there's sun and we know all of the ingredients that will be necessary for the deep roots to go, we also know that the Lord loves to prune us. And so we know that these lessons we've heard when we were little kids, some of us, are still lessons that are appropriate for today. So if we keep that in the back of our mind, even during this Christmas season, the Lord will be desirous to continue the accelerated pruning process so that we will develop the strongest leaves and trunk and also the fruit of the acorns that will fall to the ground. And then we'll be dying and we'll be buried, dying and buried, and be lifted up to be oak trees that will last. And so when we stand before Jesus someday, he's going to say, oh, you're my oak tree. I saw you when you were just like this, but I also saw you like that. That's who you are. This is the same thing. When you see this little tiny thing that you can put in your pocket, it has the same DNA of this, but is considered by God to be his planting for his glory. God doesn't say, look at yourself like this. He says, look at yourself as you are there, but check the root system. Because for you to continue to grow, I'm going to be doing some pruning. I'm going to be doing some watering. And there will be many, many, many strong oaks who will follow you and follow your life. How many of us want that? We call them bringing many sons to glory. And the Lord says, as a strong oak tree who has not been given the mandate of heaviness, but has been given in exchange for the beauty of ashes, the oil of joy. So we explained a lot of this carefully to our friends in Sola, in Ghana. And so as we were drinking, this had already been talked about, not in maybe this detail, but a lot of other things, because the goal is, Lord, you created me, little acorn, but big oak tree, together to live supernaturally from day one. So babies in their mother's wombs, you know, they are living supernaturally. Mm-hmm. It's our job to recognize that. Yeah. How can that be? They're living naturally and supernaturally? Well, you have a part to play as moms and dads. You have a part to play in that. You have a part to play in bringing that to pass. And God says every part of our life is to be supernaturally lived. Okay, what does that look like? Well, we spent our time in Africa teaching that and modeling that. But God wants us to see ourselves that way, that supernatural is the key, above the normal, above the natural, above what everybody says is the solution. Not that we can't listen, but beyond that, the solution from heaven will always be supernatural. It may involve part of the natural, but it will be supernatural. That's how we can have supernatural jobs, supernatural finances, supernatural marriages, supernatural children, supernatural education, supernatural living on every front. He says, that's for you. And as we become this message more and more, when we have Gift of Christmas next week, with those who come in, they'll walk in and feel something supernatural, and our job is to help them be drawn into that quickly, even on the bus, even at Kmart or wherever we're going this year, before they have the call at the end, because we're supernatural. That's our call. I'm a supernatural oak tree. So as this morning, I was looking at glasses. Supernatural eyes are in the making for me, and this is temporary, and I know it. Thank you, Jesus. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, I think I asked you before, to 1 Thessalonians. Everybody there? Can you do that? Yeah, 1 Thessalonians, if I can find it, my Bible's been falling apart here, literally. So I've got different books after different books that shouldn't be there. So I got to get this fixed at some point. Yeah, you can put it in the middle. That's good. Where are we going here? Oh, there. Okay. That's good. Yeah, thanks. Troy, you're so good. Thank you. That's so good. Yeah, that's good. That's lovely. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay, I want you to track with me on this because the Lord showed me some things. We didn't share this in Sola, but this is what he gave me. When we look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 24, keep your eyes on the oak tree while we're doing this. Remember, this is how the Lord sees us, big oaks, not mangoes. He's telling us that when he comes again, when the day of the Lord comes, it will come as a thief in the night, but we who are ready will be able to see and we'll be able to know what he's doing. In other words, we will have a global perspective of what these last days will be looking like and what these last days shall become. And when others are screaming one thing or the other, we will be at peace. We will be rejoicing. We will be absolutely holding fast to our confession of faith. And we'll be here to do that because we'll be modeling the kingdom. And so as we modeled the kingdom when things are happening around us, the Lord will allow us, having gone through many, many testings, to be able to function as a supernatural being on all fronts. So love looks like something from the Lord's perspective. He says, I need you, my oak trees, in this season, not just for your own sake, your own family and future, but also for what's happening globally. Because my son is coming back, and he's coming soon. And if you're living as though he's coming tomorrow, oh my, there will be full supernatural acceleration for those who will choose to live that way as an actual choice, along with the mandate. So he starts out 1 Thessalonians with a reminder to us in verse 1 says, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. I found that really interesting because the Lord says to us, if you have me and you understand what it means to live in supernatural mode, have my presence, live in my presence, and you're open to everything I'm releasing in this day and season, and you're close to me, you're going to get this. You don't need step A, B, C, D. How many of us have read 1 Thessalonians 5 looking for all the answers to our questions about the last days and what's going to happen and how we're going to live? And then over the years, this may be for some, over the years, we see that the Lord say, hey, this is about my love, guys. This is about my presence and drinking in my joy and my peace. That's what this is all about. So if you can hang with me there, guess what? I'm going to open the rest to you and you'll get it. So sometimes the Lord has to turn us upside down. I have to be really honest with you. When I first got saved and I heard he was coming again, having the mind that I have and the way I think, I just wanted all those answers, and that's where I went right away. It's like, okay, he's coming again. I want to know what this is about and what's going to happen. So I'm studying the book of Revelation and Thessalonians and leading others in that and trying to discern what's up, what's true, what's right, knowing that I don't want anything but what's true. And I just was hearing from the Lord in your studies and as you were trying to prove this, just rest in me and watch what I will do. And he started to tweak my thinking. And he started to take me into a place where I was absolutely falling deeper in love with him. And then the answers to a lot of my questions started to surface as I would read a scripture because of the great love that I was discovering from him. His Father's love is the message. Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father. We shared that all over Ghana when we were there. Of course he came to destroy the works of the devil. Hello. That's Christianity 101, of course. All right? He had to come and say, excuse me, give me the keys. That's his job. Just like Satan's job is to say, I don't think so, and then he's toast. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, and that's just kind of a given. But the deeper well, if you will, is to understand that the Father is being revealed through the Son and by the Son. Huh? What? Yes, shake up this brain a little bit. So anyway, God gave us creative ways to express that and to impart that while we were in Africa. And so in chapter 5, it says, for you, in verse 2, know full well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon women with children, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. Meaning, as you're walking in my presence, you're really leaning into what I'm doing in the world today. Let me say it again. When you're leaning in to what I'm doing in the world right now, in fullness, you're going to be flowing right with me. You're right in sync. You're in the river with me. You're just completely helpless and dependent on me. And it's okay. It's going to be okay. It is okay. And it will be okay in the future. It's like, huh? Well, that sounds crazy. I know. Well, that sounds very hard to understand. Probably so. But this is the love, the strength of the power of love that we saw at work in Ghana. Okay, I'm going to show you now, Andy, I don't know if you have it easily accessible, the picture of the chief. Okay, now I'm going to throw this out to you, and I'm hoping you guys will catch this and grab it and catch it, okay? Back in 2000-something, Rachel can tell me what year, I don't know, a Muslim chief gave us land in 2000-something, and he gave us 22 acres of land. We offered him Jesus. He said, no, I am the chief over the area. No, thank you. I am a Muslim, but I like you. My body gets healed. You're pretty cool. You come to see me each year. So I'll give you land. That's what I'm doing. Smart move on that dude's part. So anyway, we're going to put a picture of him up. Tell me when it's up, guys. And this Muslim chief got saved a few years after that. We had prayed him in, and we decided, Lord, he's an oak tree. He just doesn't know it at all. He's clueless. He's not even existing in the oak camp. So he doesn't know he's an oak tree, and he certainly doesn't know you, but his body is sick again, and we can pray for healing for him, and maybe you'll heal him again, or he's going to die. And either way, he's going to live eternally, and we hope it's with you. So when we were in our offices here at Frontline, we were talking to him in his little mud palace in Ghana, and he got saved. And it was an amazing miracle, totally, totally amazing. And he renounced Islam. How many of us know that's a miracle? You just don't. I mean, you're the chief of the place. You just don't renounce Islam. Come on. Well, he did because the power of God was there, and he said, come on, you can do this. I love you. And he got saved. So he renounced Islam. That was great. There he is. Check his face out. This guy, it was used by God for a kingdom project of heavenly proportions in northern Ghana that will be a gateway for other nations in Africa. He has shown us that. He is doing it. And God is, he's with Jesus right now. I mean, I don't know if he's wearing the same thing or not, but you know, he's saved. He's in heaven. And there's another chief who's following behind him who likes us, but he's very Muslim too. But he speaks English, so it's even easier in some ways. But he got saved. A few years after that, when we were visiting up in the north, working up there, we were in a bus, not on our land, but the Lord brings this man's wife, this dead man's wife, past our bus. Didn't know who she was. Somebody in the bus pointed out and said, do you know who that is? Nope. Here's who that is. Oh my gosh. Tears come, get off the bus and say, we led your husband to know Jesus. I know he's dead right now, but he's in the presence of God. He loves him so much, and he loves you. Would you like to do the same? And she said, yes, but I didn't know how. She didn't know how. That's what she told me. I didn't know what to do. God saw that in her, and he positioned us years later to be right where she was going to be walking, or vice versa. I don't know God, how he does these things, but she's right there. There she is. And she gets saved right outside of the bus. So easy. Yes, I would like to know Jesus. Are you willing to renounce Islam? Yes, a few years later. That's God's faithfulness. If you think he doesn't care, if you think he's not all about your family, come on. Here you go. This is living lesson number one here. So she gets saved, we give her some blessing, and she walks another 6 hours to her next destination, where we're crying, going, I don't believe this is God. Look what you did. You're amazing. I believe this was in 2009. Okay, they're arguing. I don't know. It's 2009. But anyway, 2000-something. And so look at this lady. Okay, so then we get up to Sola this year, and we get up there, and we have a lovely it's called a shed or a pavilion, but it's been biggie sized. It's bigger. So the structure has been changed, and we decided to change the Kanisu building, the roofing, to aluminum because it won't burn down and it won't blow over. So it's much better. So when we got there, only half of it was completed, and there were all kinds of issues going on. Some that weren't so fun and weren't so pretty, that were very delicate. It's like, whatever. This is hard. What's going on? So the man who was supposed to finish all of this man kind of jumps into our room, and he looks like he's ready to take somebody out. His eyes are burning with fire. He's mad. No need to say why. But he's really mad. He wasn't mad at me, thank God. But he was totally mad. And Rick said, I mean, he's ready to duke it out with somebody when he came in. It's like, whoo! But I looked at him, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, he is with you, and he'll be with you. He opened his mouth. I knew immediately he was a Muslim. There was just no doubt about it. So anyway, there he is. He decided after several days of all kinds of hoops jumping through that were not easy, lots of wisdom of God, he decided he would finish our roof. So he's on top of the roof. There he is. He's just an amazing person. And we're in Cynthia's leading Bible school with Andy down below. I think Rick was there too. And it was like, bam, bam, bam. And everybody's looking up, and Cynthia's trying to teach. And it was, you know, she'd come over to me, and I'm still dealing with various things. And she'd say, do you think we could move somewhere? I said, I don't know where. It's pretty sunny here. So have fun. Anyway, so Cynthia had an adventure with Andy, and I think they moved a little to the side, and then you moved back. But anyway, he was up there. And there we go with a bigger, I don't know if it's twice the size, but it's just gigantic compared to how it was. So here he is in the middle of Bible school doing his thing, all part of God. And he's listening somehow. I don't know how he could listen. But he's, you know, somehow he's in the presence of the Holy Spirit, not saved, Muslim. And then there he is. His name is Adams. You'll see him someday. He's with us. He's very cool. He's my new buddy. So Adams is up there, really priding himself in his work. And then we have a picture of he and I next to each other. I had said to the Lord earlier when I first met him, when I heard he was a Muslim or knew he was a Muslim, I said, God, I want to see him saved before I leave. I want to lead him to Jesus. That was a simple prayer, and then we went on with the rest of life. It was not 24/7, get him saved, get him saved, get him saved. But it was God's heart, declared God's heart. So the picture of the two of us together, Andy, if you could put that one up. This is the six of us together. But right after, I'm ready to get in the car with Pastor Samuel, and I'm ready to get in the car, and he comes around the corner, and he says, I said, oh, Adams, listen, I have some things I want to tell you. And I started to tell him, one thing that some of you know, but some of you didn't hear this, is that during the challenges with him over a couple of days, it turned out that he is the dead chief's son. That's who he is. Didn't know that. Didn't know that when we said, Lord, I want to see him saved before we leave. Didn't know that when we wanted to be used by God to bring peace, not just to get a roof, but bring peace. Didn't know any of that. Do you have that picture? Somewhere. Anyway, when he walked around, I was just ready to get in the car, in Pastor Semmel's car. And I went around and I saw him and I said, remember your father, remember your mother, remember your father, remember your mother. And if you can go to Pastor Stephen's church, that would be a good thing. And then he looked at me, just stared at me, and I said, Adams, do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus? And he looked at me. That was it. And he goes, yes. Sorry. What? You want to know Jesus? I wasn't that surprised, you know, but yeah, I was like, wah! Okay, let's go into the house, into the building. And we will talk. So this was a very long talk to be able to make sure that, as much as we could, that he really wanted to renounce Islam. And he looked at me and he said, I really want to know Jesus. And I said, are you willing to turn your back on everything that you have learned, everything that you know, everything in your family? And he said, yes. And I said, you know, your father lives with Jesus. He goes, I know. I said, your mother, she's still alive and she lives with Jesus. Or she will live with Jesus. I know. And then he told me that he had talked with her. And he told me after we had prayed. But he said, I talked with my mother. I ran into her at the market yesterday. I said, oh, really? She told me so many things. I said, did she tell you how we met at the bus and how she got born again? She got saved and she's a Christian? Yes. And I'm ready. It's like, oh my gosh. So this was a big celebration. There he is right there. Okay, now, Why is this so important? Because God wants him saved. Why is this so important? The Lord's looking for acceleration. Why is this so important? The Lord is trying to teach everybody something. Why is this so important? He wants us to know the generational desire of his heart to be carried to the ends of the earth. He wants us to see that who you are and who your children and grandchildren and others are in God's eyes are specifically planned by God, who they are, their destinies, and that they are designed to cooperate with the Lord. And our prayers are so significant. Our posturing of our life with the people that we can is so important. And the enemy's job is to destroy it. The enemy's job is to kill it. The enemy's job is to keep it from happening. The enemy's job is to absolutely hinder this work of the kingdom. And so God wanted to bring him in, and it was not easy at all. There was a labor involved, and he showed us that he would be a laborer on the roof, but he would also be a laborer in this for the harvest, for the end time harvest. And when you go to Ghana with us someday, you will meet Adams. Hopefully his mother will still be alive. And you will see. He is the father of five children. But to see the hand of the Lord, to see the providence of God, to see the sovereignty of God, but also the freedom that God gave Adams to finish the roof, to cooperate with us, to actually get on his motorcycle, even though he was mad, and come over to the building, to the compound, to follow it through, to put him where he was, near the car at the very end, because the Lord didn't forget my prayer and the prayers of our team. And I'm literally ready to sit to get in the car at that second. And the Lord said, excuse me, I'm trumping that right now because I can. And I'm God. And I love your heart. He loves our hearts when we have a love for the lost. He loves our hearts when we are globally minded. He loves our hearts when we are thinking, what am I doing now that means everything to him for the end time harvest? Everything that we do, even putting a Christmas tree up, even showing things to our children. What else are we doing in this season? Buying presents for those we love. All of this has an end time goal. And if we stop and we're short-sighted there, because I'm sorry, maybe I'll deal with that in January. No. The Lord is very intentional and very specific because he's coming again and he's saying, I want you to live that way. Don't lose sight and don't become faint-hearted in any way. You are an oak tree, and he sees that maybe you might consider yourself a seedling or somebody else that's a planting of the Lord, but he sees the finished product. He sees the roots going deep. He sees the fullness that he's bringing right now into our lives. He's saying, I'm looking for those whose hearts are completely mine. My eyes are searching to and fro, 2 Chronicles 9:16, around the world, looking for those whose hearts belong to me, and to them I will strongly support. To them I will show myself strong. Oh my, big deal, God is saying. He's saying, will you change with me? Will you allow me to enter in and interrupt your thinking process? Will you look at what I'm doing and see it for who I am and what I'm saying? I want to close with the rest of 5 Thessalonians, and I want you to look at that with me. Okay. In verse 6, he says, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. He's saying, awaken, O sleeper, and stay awake. Once we've been awakened, stay awakened and awaken more with the mandate to awaken others, especially those in your family. The children in this house should be the most supernaturally oriented little people of anybody I've ever met, because this is a crazy place. Listen again when you get your CDs and DVDs to Relentless Pursuit. And if you still need to order them, see Dylan. Because I listened to the whole, almost, I think I missed one or two sessions, but the whole Relentless Pursuit, I listened to it on the plane going over to Ghana. I was laughing out loud going, God, you are amazing. Amazing. Don't take for granted what he's doing in this hour, saints. Don't take for granted. It's a big deal. Don't go by what you see. Ask the Lord to reveal to you. And then to finish up, he says, for those who sleep, do their sleeping at night. And those who get drunk at night. He's saying, be awakened and drink. He's giving us the opposite here. He's saying, this is not who you are. You're an oak tree. You're to be awakened and you're to drink. And you need to understand more and more what drinking is and then drink. And God will teach us more and more. He will say, I'm going to show you how to lean into your spirit. One thing I shared at Life Christian Center last Sunday in Ghana South, I was joking with Pastor Samuel about shaking. You know how sometimes my arm goes like this? So we were joking about that in the kitchen. But the Lord prompted me to bring that up in the meeting. And I said, you know, there are times when I have been pinned by the Holy Spirit and I can't stop it and I can't move. And he's all over me and it's pressure and it's strong and it's bringing tears because it actually hurts. Because if God wanted to have his full way with us, we could be smashed down into nothingness with the power of glory. Okay. But he gives us room to grow because we're his oak trees. I said, then, when the Holy Spirit is moving, there'll be times when my body will start to move or shake because I have taught myself through the Spirit how to lean into the atmosphere and the environment and to lean into what he's doing. And so when my hand starts to shake, sometimes I'm not even aware of it. Other times I'm aware of it, and then I lean into it. Why would I want to stop something that he's about? Amen? So, let's just finish this text and then close on the keys here. So get ready, keyboardists. Okay. Thank you, Lord. But since we are the day, or of the day, verse 8, let us be sober. Sober does not mean dull or non-joyful. Sober means intensely focused. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet and hope of salvation. For God's not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through Jesus, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we'll live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build up one another just as you are doing. Nice little encouragement from Paul. But to finish it up, he goes a little bit further. And this is where some Christians get stuck. They say, here are the rules. And as long as I'm doing the rules right, all is well. Forgetting that he gives us the opposite right before that and says, hey, don't be drunk as the world. The intimation is be drunk on the new wine. Okay, don't be asleep as is the world. The intimation is be awakened always in the spirit. Amazing how he pins that right in the middle of the second coming of Jesus. It's like, okay, I'm catching this. Now let's go to the rules, but they're not. These are standards of living, but I want you to posture yourself this way. As you are an oak tree, desiring for little acorns to be produced and then fall to the ground and die and be raised up. Mm-hmm. As you are thinking this way, know that the mandates here for living are a byproduct of living in his presence in joy and peace and righteousness. What you will see written here, the rules, will naturally begin to occur just as natural as little acorns, healthy acorns, are coming from the extensional branches of the acorn or of the oak tree. Okay? It's like, what? This takes us to another place. This takes us into a dimension where we're not looking for the formula, we're not looking for the rules, but these things will be the natural result of who we are becoming, how God already sees us, but how we walk out and work out our own salvation. Let's look at it. And some, my Bible says Christian conduct. I went to that right away when I got saved. Okay, good. This is how I need to be. And God said, no, I produced this in you. You forgot. Verse 12, let's read it together and think from that perspective. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love. Oh, not because of their position. That's the difference between the law and grace. It's because of love. Love. When we're in love, when love is released, it's completely different. We see our leaders, we see our spiritual parents, we see them completely differently. There is love that grabs our heart because that's the production that's coming. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the oak tree will come and the love will be there. You don't have to make yourself love your leaders. The love will come. When the love is not there, something needs to be adjusted. And that's what the Lord speaks to us about. And he shows us who we really are by what we're becoming in the text. He says that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work, and you live in peace with one another. In verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. In other words, those who are interrupting the kingdom flow, you admonish them, you will, because that will be who you are. That's what Jesus did, and it won't be the law, it will be grace. But we are encouraged, even if we might be the unruly, to receive that. But it will come sometimes with resistance. And resistance inside of us looks like something. And it might be a simple, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like it. I'm not interested. Or just a blank stare. And many times we don't know what we're full of till we're poked. And we need to call it resistance. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. In other words, if you have a global perspective, the way Jesus has a global perspective, these things will start to just manifest. Just as if we're filled with something, we might manifest what we're filled with. But when we're poked in a good way by love, then what we're filled with that is to be replaced by that love will look like something. And God is saying, I'm looking for it, the great exchange. That's my desire. And that will come as you grow into that powerful oak tree in reality as you see it. And then to finish it off, wow. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. These are separate verses. Two words, 16. Rejoice always. Three words, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Those three areas, or let me get to the fourth one and fifth. Sorry, let me get them together. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. In other words, don't stop what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Well, no one intentionally does, but when we have a different perspective that hopefully we have as of this message today, we may go to the Lord and say, wow, this is what happens as my oak tree continues to manifest for all to see, for other acorns to be seen and to be brought into the kingdom, to be seen and to be effective. So quenching the Spirit might be part of my world. And I'm going to look at this rather than, okay, I won't quench the Spirit. I'm going to look at it as, Lord, how are you seeing me? Because my desire is love. And we look at things differently. Rather than a list of do's and don'ts, we look at this as the production of the oak tree and the little acorns that are coming to develop a global perspective that Jesus has. And number four is, do not despise prophetic utterance. In other words, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So as prophecy is released, if you have resistance, there might be something God's trying to say. But examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. And what hits me, and this is the end here, in 21 and 22, It says, hold fast to the fact that God is good. I'm adding that. And then stop anything that's contrary to that. Anything that doesn't match up with him is contrary to that. But how will we know unless we think of him in this light without looking at a list? And then finally, the closing prayer is now, as a result, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he who brings it to pass. That's what we started with in the message, that the Lord is faithful and true. And he is not only faithful to do, but he is faith, and he will bring it to pass. We can be sure of it, that this oak tree that we had up there is who we are. And God sees us that way. Let's be encouraged this morning for something new. Let's close on the keys, or with the keys in worship. And we're just going to say, Holy Spirit, you reign in this place. And I'm ready for that upgrade. I thank you for what you've done. And let's just ask God to speak to us. I know that different things that were said have hit us in different ways this morning. And I know God's doing something very big right now, he told me. I don't know what that would be for you individually. If you need prayer, feel free to come up. But the Lord is saying it's time to awaken and stay awakened so that you can awaken others. It's time to drink so that you can drink and drink with others and lead others for joy, peace, and righteousness to reign in people's lives. For the little oak that we have, the little acorn we have, is a reminder that in God's eyes we are big oak trees, but that he has a very specific, systematic approach to helping us get where we're supposed to be, because he's faithful and true. So Father, we just thank you right now for this word of life. Thank you for these words that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for being with us in a new, fresh way. Lord, that as we stand for what you've released, Lord, that we will have been positioned to receive something new, because you are speaking. You are speaking. You are speaking. You are speaking. And our job is to receive in the deepest of places. Thank you, Lord. Your love that you have for us is so incredibly amazing that we cannot yet fully fathom the depth of that. But we are positioned to receive where we can and what we can do. Thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful, that you would like to see us preserved, blameless, body, soul, and spirit, for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the mighty miraculous will be seen, that we will walk in divine health, that we'll be able to minister the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom to others in the ways that you have designated. Lord, that you would shake us up to see new things for ourselves, for our families, for our children, for our grandchildren, for those who are coming, for those who are not yet in alignment yet with you, Lord God. That you would release something new inside of us, Lord, because of this word. Lord, that we can worship you now and believe, Lord God, that we are created by and for your pleasure. By you and for you. Even our marriages are for your pleasure, for your glory. That everything that we are part of is for your kingdom. To come on this earth as it is in heaven. That we are to focus on you in all areas, and that will change our perspective of how we do business, how we do our lives. That today will be a new day for greater humility to be birthed, inside of us, which fills us with joy and peace and righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of this word. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship him now as we close. And if you need prayer for anything, please feel free to come up. Let's worship him and thank him through our worship. For this is our reasonable act of worship and service, to present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And put your children and grandchildren in his hands and be ready to start something new with them. For they need to know who you carry. They need to receive from you. For they are world changers in the making. And all of us are. Wow. Something new today, Lord. Let it be. Let's worship him now, can we? Will we? Amen. Let's worship him. And commit everything that you've heard from the Lord. Commit it and say you are faithful and true to bring it to pass. And no person will be able to influence you to stop it. That you will rise up in this season. For you've heard the words. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love. Yeah.
Thank you, this Jesus. Is my desire.
Yes, Lord. Come forward if you'd like to decree and declare. You, thank you, Troy. Because the God of the heavens, Lord, and the earth are here. And hold your heads high as we worship the Lord, because this is our desire, that we change in your presence, Lord, for that global call and mandate. For every person is designed by you, O God, to carry this to the four corners of the earth. Yes, Lord, that we can drink in your presence. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Let's pick this up with everything inside of us. Come on. Everything cries out. Yes, Lord.
Alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way.
We're believing that there's been an extra measure of release of a desire for global kingdom evangelism, Lord. That it will so hit our hearts that we will burn. We will be on fire, Lord God, for more of the desires that you have in your heart. As you so desire to populate heaven, Lord. That wherever we go in this season, Lord, be it Starbucks, we go outside to put our Christmas lights up, whatever it would be, Lord, that we would see the very people around us as people that you are desiring to bring in as the next generation, as the next place of inheritance, that this is the call that you have for us. Lord, it's not relegated to a Friday night downtown. Lord, that this would be something that would burn inside, a passion for souls, a passion for the lost, a passion for the hurting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your reminder today, and thank you for touching us. Our desire is to love you and honor you all the days of our life. And thank you. Thank you that you've been here with us, in Jesus' name. The word I'm hearing is take what the Lord has released. Take what has been impressed, what has been released. Take what has been imparted. Take the new empowerment and just believe it. Whether you understand it or not, just believe it. And God will bring it to pass. God will do it. Stop in Dillard. Stop in the mall. Stop when you're on your way, wherever it is, and see somebody with his eyes, and God will back you up. And you will grow more and more, and God will show you and me what he's meaning with this oak tree of righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just greet someone near you right now and give them two words from heaven. Just give them two words of life. Tell them. who they are. Tell them what the Lord says about them. Just go to somebody else. There are people in the back who are not in the front. So if you're in the front, go to the back. If you're in the back, go to the front. Go find someone else. Move out of your seats, please. And let them know. Go speak to them. Go speak life into someone else. Other than your own family. Go speak to someone else. That's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go speak to someone new. Go find someone new. Go speak life. 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 Today, something new is released from heaven, I believe. Something new. Bring people into church next Sunday. Have as your goal more oak trees and watch what God will do. They will come. Invite them. They will come. Invite them. They will say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, let's fill this place up next week. Yes, Lord.